Now let's look at Jesus in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. Always remember that Luke's gospel is a documentary written to Theophilus, along with the book of Acts. And in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus had to go through the temptations that Adam failed. Turn these stones into bread. And he defeated him with, "It is written." It is also written. And we need to understand that that's the way we need to win our wars. It is written. So, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, he had always been, I mean, he was born of the Spirit. But when he was baptized in the Jordan by John, the Spirit of God opened John's eyes, and he saw the Spirit of God actually come on him, and he described it as a dove landing on him. The Spirit within and the Spirit upon. The Spirit within and the Spirit upon. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. But it happened here to Jesus in the Jordan River when John baptized him. Now watch Jesus. He came back from temptation in the power. Read and study all that. When he came into Nazareth that day, I expect he didn't look all that good. He hadn't eaten in 6 weeks. And then the scripture said he hungered. Well, of course it did. Starvation set in, and that's when the devil came at him and said, "Eat something." Showed him all the kingdoms of the world, said, "Bow down before me and worship thee." And they're yours. They were already his. He created them. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim. Plural. Let us make man in our image. So here we are. And he came to Nazareth. Now, why did he live in Nazareth? Because it was prophesied that he would be called a Nazarene. Well, he was not under a Nazarite vow. Samson was. But he was not. But he had to live in Nazareth in order to be called a Nazarene. Little bitty town. Little agricultural town. 120 people to 150. Well, everybody there knew him. They knew him since he's two. The Spirit of the Lord, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened up the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day," now that's what made them mad, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? No, it wasn't Joseph's son. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever you have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Now here he calls himself a prophet. He was raised here. We know him. We know all of his kin folks. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Here he's called himself a prophet. He's saying he's the great Jubilee, and he has compared himself to Elijah and Elisha. And he said it was today. Let's kill him. They didn't even think. They just got so mad. Who does he think he is? He thinks he found himself in the book of Isaiah. Amen. And he did. They were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. Led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. His word was anointing. The Spirit of God is upon me, for he has anointed me. Well, it's the same Spirit. And in John's record of that night, it's the most extensive. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 chapters of John was all in that last Passover meal. It's all in there about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the power in his name and so forth. It's all recorded there. So put yourself in that place. And then we go to the book of Philippians, which is a partner letter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Every one of these, just Galatians 3, the scripture foreseeing that preached to Abraham, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The book of Ephesians, the covenant books, the full armor of God. Now, the little town of Philippi was a Roman garrison town. And if you remember in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul was there with Silas. And at midnight, in a dungeon, they were praying, singing, and praising God. And the power of God hit that jail and shook it. It was not a natural earthquake. It was the power of God shaking that place, and it shook it so violently that all of the shackles and chains fell off the prisoners' hands and feet. And the two of them had been beat nearly to death, That was at Philippi. And then you can see it here in this letter to the pastor of that church. The pastor of this church was that jailer. Amen. So he dressed their wounds and took them home with them. And he was saved, he and all of his house. And then they found out that they were Roman citizens. And they were whipped and chained without a trial. Oh, would you tell them to go their way? And Paul said, no, no, no. You're going to come down here and apologize to me. I love it. Whew. I'm telling you, I'm so looking forward to meeting this man. No. He said, You just come tell me goodbye. My God, like to tore your prison up. You can just come down here and apologize to me. And they did. Now, this is a partner letter. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, all the saints of Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you, making all request with joy for your fellowship. Now, in Luke 5:1, that same word is translated partnership. So make a note of that. Luke 5:1. For your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, as much as in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Did you get that? You're partakers of my grace. That's a key phrase. You are a partaker of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus, or in the depth and the spirit of Jesus Christ. This I pray, for your love may abound, and so forth. Now, verse 19, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and through your supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I know not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful to you. And this is a partner letter. He didn't write this in the time it takes you to read it. I believe he made that decision while he's writing the letter. He's just sitting there thinking. He used the word joy 19 times in this book. And he's in one of the worst prisons that you could be in at the time. And he's thinking, let's die and get out of here. But if I do that, I can't minister to these people. And you'll see why in a moment. Well, it's a letter, so just sit down and read all of it. And we're going to get into some of it tonight. Oh, that 10th verse of the 3rd chapter. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained either or already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but notice this and I do are in italics. I count myself not to have apprehended, but one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in the anointed one, Christ Jesus, and in his anointing. Powerful man. Now you come through into this fourth chapter. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how. I learned it from God and all the stuff I've been through. I know how. He didn't say sometimes I am or sometimes I'm not. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound, to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do it through the anointed one and his anointing. I'm going to say it again. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's not a title. It's what he preached. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. That's what Christ means, anointed. It is the Greek translation of the word Messiah. So there in his hometown, he has just sat there and called himself Messiah. Ah, but Bartimaeus, we'll talk about him tomorrow. What did he do? Son of David. And Jesus had already asked in the book of Matthew, the Christ, who shall he be called? They said, the Son of David. Son of David, do hesed for me. Son of David. They said, no. Jesus stopped. Bartimaeus called on the covenant. King James says mercy. Son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me. Do hesed for me. He stopped and said, send him to me. He could not do anything else. The Syrophoenician woman said that. Son of David. She got his attention. She had no covenant, but she stepped over into your and my time. He called her a dog. She said, yes, Lord, but the dogs get the crumbs at the master's table. He said, woman, great is your faith. For that saying, go home. Your daughter's healed. Well, her daughter was vexed of the spirit. She was demon possessed. She went home. She's all right. The power of his word. So here it is. Verse 15. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again on my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Nobody partnered with him All the rest of them just took care of him while he was there, but they forgot him, I guess, when he left town. But this one is the only one. This prison church. So grateful. In my bonds. And all those guys are thinking about their backs and how they'd been whipped. And that jailer that could have been killed for letting the prisoners escape. And they helped him everywhere he went. Even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I have all in abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is an exceeding precious covenant promise. And it's as good today as it was back there then. Hallelujah.
My name is Clinton Walsh and I'm from Johannesburg, South Africa, and this is my wife.
I'm Janine Walsh. It's now 15 years ago that we've started a ministry here in Johannesburg, Full Flame Life Church. And the ministry is growing, going from strength to strength. And we know it's because of our partnership with Brother Copeland. He gives us such an example on how to conduct ministry, do it with excellence, as well as just teaching and leading us how to be pastors, how to be, you know, to fulfill the call of God on our lives.
They were doing renovations on the property at KCM. And so they were believing God for certain resources and you could sow into it. And so we were sitting on our couch in the lounge and we were watching KCM, Believer's Voice of Victory. Pastor George came up, said, we're believing God for this. And so we were always sowers, but this was a time now where God was actually going to bump the ministry and us up to a new financial level. So I had a figure come up on my heart. She had a figure come up her heart and she actually said to me, she said, I think we need to sow that into the ministry. I said, I agree with that. But this was 10 times bigger than anything we had sown before. So we sowed it because I believe in Luke, I think it's 6:38 says, given it shall be given. The measure you use will be measured back to you. And so the Lord said to me, Clint, if you want to increase the measures coming back into your ministry, you need to increase the measurer that goes out. So this seed was maybe 10 times of what we'd sown before. So we sowed it into KCM Africa. And within a few months, for the first time in the ministry, these large amounts of that exact amount started rolling in one by one. And it was, you could have called it almost spontaneously. They just came in. As the renovations came, this big amount would hit. Then we'd go to the next one, big amount would hit. So we knew that it was directly connected to that seed that we sowed into KCM. In our personal life, I was listening to Brother Copeland for many years and following the example. And, you know, the life is an example in so many ways that all that happened when we stepped over into ministry, now everything that we had been following and learning by faith, we now could apply in ministry. And basically, as we were partners, now we just made the ministry partners. And so all of those blessings and the anointings and the graces that had come into our lives and the prosperity, we now have seen in the ministry.
So it hasn't just been about giving. It's been about receiving what's on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, receiving revelation. And that revelation is more valuable to us than even the monetary return.
And the harvest, yeah.
Because if we get revelation, we've seen when we put it into action, we will get everything that we're believing for. So that partnership for us is very valuable.
And the graces and anointings and wherever they are, wherever God has blessed them financially, we receive it into our lives. We've seen it. There's so much that you get out of partnership that you can't put a monetary value on because it's irreplaceable. There's no monetary value on it. So besides the harvest that you get from sowing seed into good soil, there's tremendous other benefits that you get from the ministry. And as my wife said, the greatest thing that we've got from partnership personally is revelation. That's been the thing that has totally changed our lives, healed our bodies, changed us, given us a good marriage, taught us how to bring up kids. Really, it shaped who we are. I believe, and I can say this, I think I'm much of a product of what Brother Copeland has preached over the years and Sister Gloria. Mm. So praise the Lord.
And it's that uncompromising word of faith. Mm. And I think it's also encouraging for us to have those examples, to know that there's other people out there, that we're
examples.
Not standing alone. We're not doing this by ourselves. We've got examples, and they bring us the word, and we can take the word and we can run with it.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. We are thankful for our partners, and it blesses us to hear their testimonies of God's power and goodness in their lives. Clinton and Janine Walsh shared the power of partnership. They received the revelation and anointing that are on Kenneth Copeland Ministries and are prospering in things God has called them to do in South Africa. And their results have been more than just financial breakthroughs. God's wisdom and instruction have helped them learn to prosper spiritually, socially, and physically as well. The anointing and revelation that are on Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and this ministry are also available to you. You are not alone. You can take the word and revelation that God ministers through this ministry and see His results in your life too. Well, every Friday is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. The Lord instructed Brother Copeland that Galatians 6:6-8 is the foundation scripture for the offerings on the broadcast. We would like to give you the opportunity to sow financially towards the word of God you've heard and received on the broadcast this week. We want to continue sending this uncompromised word of faith to people everywhere, from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle, so that they can take hold of the same wisdom and revelation you receive through the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I want to pray over your offering and believe with you for God's abundance in your life. Heavenly Father, you love a cheerful giver. And according to your promise, every good thing that any man does, the same shall be done unto them by the Lord Jesus Christ. On behalf of your anointing, your holy word, and by your Holy Spirit, I declare the blessing over every sower of this broadcast. All sufficiency in all things be made available unto them so that they may abound to every good work. I call their due season into manifestation and their harvest abundant in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, be sure to join Brother Copeland as he will teach you that keeping God's commandment leads you into His healing. This is Brother Larry reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.